This time our children may be dismissed for junior church. We'll be here on my left, up through fourth grade. You can turn your Bibles to the book of 1 Peter. 1 Peter. How many here this morning can relate to Peter? Yeah. At least at times in your life. I appreciate the different personalities that we have in Scripture. I also appreciate how God will use the examples of faith and failure to demonstrate His grace. When you read the Bible, you see, as it's the living Word of God, how these men were transparent in their lives. They didn't cover up things. You have a clear picture through the Gospels, through the Epistles, and so forth. Well, 1 Peter chapter 1, we'll be studying this book, and you do kind of see some differences when you study either Pauline epistles, epistles of John or Peter, and just what they emphasize. You also see the cohesiveness of Scripture as well when you study the various, even the Gospels, the four Gospel accounts, and you put all the Word of God together, Old and New Testament, how it reads as one book. But I want to start this morning with the first 12 verses of 1 Peter 1 will be our text. So your Bibles, you can turn them on or open them up. 1 Peter 1, verse 1. Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to those who are elect exiles of the dispersion in Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia, according to the foreknowledge of God the Father, in the sanctification of the Spirit, for obedience to Jesus Christ and for sprinkling with His blood. May grace and peace be multiplied to you. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. According to His great mercy, He has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled, and unfading, kept in heaven for you, who by God's power are being guarded through faith for a salvation ready to be revealed in the last time. In this you rejoice, though now for a little while, if necessary, you have been grieved by various trials, so that the tested genuineness of your faith, more precious than gold that perishes, though it is tested by fire, may be found to result in praise and glory and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Though you have not seen Him, you love Him. Though you do not now see Him, you believe in Him and rejoice with joy that is inexpressible and filled with glory, obtaining the outcome of your faith, the salvation of your souls. Concerning this salvation, the prophets who prophesied about the grace that was to be yours searched and inquired carefully, inquiring what person or time the Spirit of Christ in them was indicating when He predicted the sufferings of Christ and the subsequent glories. it was revealed to them that they were serving not themselves, but you in the things that have now been announced to you through those who preached the good news to you by the Holy Spirit sent from heaven, things into which angels long to look. Let us go to our Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we're so thankful this morning that we can address you as our Father in heaven. Hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Father, forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us. Deliver us from evil. Father, you give us life. You sustain life. You secure our life. We have life within us. We have a living hope. We have an inheritance in glory that's imperishable, unfading, undefiled, and it's kept in heaven by your power, not our own. Oh, Father, it is an inexpressible joy, and our hearts are filled with joy and glory because of you, because of your grace. Father, I pray for anyone who's disheartened this morning. Father, I pray for myself that you would encourage me as I preach the Word of God, that the Holy Spirit would guide my heart and my mouth. I do pray. If there's anyone in this building has not put their faith in Christ, they would realize that because of their sin, they are separated from you. They deserve hell. They deserve the second death, eternal separation. But you provided a way of escape. You demonstrated your love toward us. And while we were sinners, Christ, our Savior and Lord, died for us. Took upon your wrath. He drank every single drop of your wrath on the cross. All that we deserve was put upon him. And that anyone who calls upon Christ is forgiven and given eternal life. Father, I also pray for the believers here today. Oh, I thank you for this church. I thank you for the love in this body. I thank you for the Holy Spirit. And I pray if there's anyone going through a trial this morning, you call them various trials, and they are necessary at times, as we see in this passage. I pray that you would give them the grace to endure the trial, that they would lean upon you and not themselves, that they would understand that you are in control. Father, may all of us lean upon your grace this morning. Father, we love you because you first loved us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. There's many key words in this epistle by Peter. One could say that the main theme or message of 1 Peter is clearly stated in 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 12, which states, "I have written briefly to you, exhorting and declaring that this is the true grace of God. Stand firm in it." There's many themes, many other themes in key words in Scripture, and I'm sorry, in 1 Peter. But it does seem that grace and standing firm in it could be seen as the main point of emphasis. And it was needed as they were going through various trials. And it's so needed today that we continually depend on God's grace. It is sufficient. How does one explain God's grace? If someone would ask you, well, tell me, what exactly is the grace of God? Words like undeserved favor or unmerited favor, divine enablement. Maybe a good synonym would be God's help. We are saved by grace. We are kept by grace. We are to grow in grace. And His grace is sufficient. And sometimes we need to be reminded of that, especially during difficult times, that God is all we need. He empowers us. He strengthens us. His grace keeps us. And He will bring us to glory because of His grace. Many have called the Apostle Paul the Apostle of Faith. John, the Apostle of Love. And Peter, the Apostle of Hope. And they have done so because of the emphasis each of these writers made in the New Testament. That's the reason why. The book of James wrote of salvation, and when he did so, he emphasized practical sanctification. When Peter wrote of salvation in this epistle, the particular aspect of salvation he emphasized was glorification. And that's kind of what I want to look at this morning as we look at these 12 verses through that lens, the glory of God, what awaits us in glory. Peter, in this section, shares some wonderful discoveries that he made about the glory of God. The first one, our believers or Christians are born for glory. Again, verse 1, Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to those who are elect exiles of the dispersion in Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, Bithynia, according to the foreknowledge of God the Father in the sanctification of the Spirit, for obedience to Jesus Christ and for sprinkling with His blood, may grace and peace be multiplied to you. I want to pause there. Wonderful introduction that we have in 1 Peter. We have foreknowledge here, we have election, we are chosen, and I've said this before many times, it's hard to completely understand, on one hand, God's sovereignty, and then on the other hand, human responsibility. I know they come together, but I'm not going to try to declare to you, I can totally understand it. I think we're limited. It's a wonderful study to dive into, studying predestination and being chosen and the elect and the foreknowledge of God. But I also want to point out here how we see all three members of the Trinity of God involved in our salvation. Look at verse 2. First of all, the foreknowledge of the Father. He foreknew us Before the foundations of the world, the plan of salvation was put into place. We see his foreknowledge, knowing us. And then we see the sanctification of the Spirit, the Holy Spirit of God, how he set this apart at salvation. And then we see Jesus Christ, for obedience to Jesus Christ and for sprinkling with his blood. When Jesus Christ went to the cross, he paid for our sin. It was his sacrifice and his alone that provides eternal life for all who call upon him. But we see every member of the Trinity involved in our salvation. If God is for us, who can be against us? If you're a believer in Christ, you have God. You have God on your side. You got God living within us. You got God directing you. And you have God keeping you. Then he says in verse 3, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. According to his great mercy, he has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. We are born again for glory. That's the end game. That's the completion of our salvation. Notice he specifically says it's a living hope. It's a living hope. You think about the word hope. Even unbelievers, they're familiar with the term. They hope for many things. You know what tends to happen, though, from an unbeliever's perspective? They're hoping for something, and days go by, and more days, and maybe even years. What can tend to happen for an unbeliever who has this hope of something that they would like to see happen in their life, and as time goes on, what generally tends to happen is the hope doesn't increase. In fact, they can become more discouraged. The more time passes, and whenever they want, whatever, a job or a godly spouse, or actually, if they're unbeliever, they don't even care if they're godly, just a spouse in general. And if that doesn't happen, or whatever it may be, as time passes, that hope tends to fade. It's not a living hope. The hope that believers have in Christ, because it is living and is rooted in a living Savior and a living Word of God, as we grow in our relationship and as time passes, that hope increases. As we long for glory, we long for heaven, we long to see our Savior face to face. Notice that it was God who caused us to be born again. Our salvation is because of him. It has nothing to do with human achievement. There's nothing that we could do to earn this great salvation. This living hope was because of the sacrifice of Jesus Christ and his resurrection, as it's very clearly stated here. We've been born again to a living hope through what? The resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Because he lives, everyone in Christ lives. You know, if Jesus Christ did not rise again, if he stayed dead, wouldn't be a living hope. We wouldn't be serving a living Savior. The resurrection is a vital part of our salvation. 1 Corinthians 15 has a lot to say about that. Christ didn't rise again from the dead, we would still be dead in our sin. So he causes us to be born again. It's his grace. When we put our faith in Christ, we now have this living hope residing in us. But what's he calling us to? What's the end game? To an inheritance, verse 4. To an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled, and unfading, kept in heaven for you. So not only are Christians born for glory, Christians are kept for glory. We are born to an inheritance that is kept in heaven for us. It's amazing how we know this as believers. That whatever is done for Christ will last. What awaits us in heaven is imperishable, doesn't fade, doesn't rust. It's eternal. Yet how our hearts are still prone to not live for those eternal things. And it's a daily struggle to remind ourselves of this is our inheritance. All of this stuff on this earth is to be used for His glory, but we don't keep any of this stuff down here. Yet we worry over it, we fret about it. Our hearts are consumed by it. And how we need to remind ourselves, and this is part of why we are to preach the gospel to ourselves, that we're saved by grace, we're kept by grace, and it's all going to bring us to this glorification. That's the living hope, that's the end game, to this inheritance that awaits us. Why are we living for all this junk? I like what Dr. James M. Gray said in one of his songs. He said, "Who can mind the journey when the road leads home?" This inheritance, this reservation is guaranteed. Anybody have a reservation that you thought you had one? There's a hotel or a car rental reservation, and then it was lost. Or you get to I'm sure someone's experienced this. You try to check in your hotel. You had a reservation you made 6 months ago. Let's say you didn't get to the hotel till 10 or 11 o'clock at night. Well, they overbooked. They don't have a room for you. When I worked at a hotel for years, that was always fun to tell a guest that. The look on their face when they're walking in, they're tired. And sorry, we do not have a room. We literally do not have one room. We got to send you over to this hotel. Well, wait a minute. I had a reservation. I know, but we don't have the room. But what's the reservation for? Isn't it to keep the room? Well, yeah, it is, but we don't have it. Just recently, on the kids' fall break, we rented a car. I think this is the first time this has ever happened. And I'm not surprised because of the hurricane and how busy everything was. We were on the Gulf side, actually. Lord bless us with wonderful weather. When I was getting the rental car, I had the reservation, but there was no car. I said, "We don't have any cars. We're out." Well, I'm like, "Well, when do you expect the car?" "Well, we'll put you on a waiting list." And I talked to another guy. He says, "Yeah, I've been waiting for a couple hours for my car." I said, "Well, I'm willing to take any car. You know, it's four wheels. let's go. You know, I think I had a full-size car reserved, but hey, if that's all you have is economy. She said, why don't you go up to actually, on the fourth floor of Tampa Airport, where you actually get the car, and talk to them, tell them you're on a waiting list, and see how they can help you. And the Lord just took care of it. And first they had no car, and then here comes this full-size car pulling in. Here you go. Like, praise the Lord. I didn't want to stay in an airport for hours. You don't want to do that when you arrive for your vacation. That's a reminder to me that the only guaranteed reservation, you know, we use the word guaranteed, but we know in reality, because it's humanity, things happen. We try to guarantee things, but sometimes things come up, and though we thought it was guaranteed, it's not. But when it comes to God and what awaits us in heaven, everything that He promises you is guaranteed. He won't lose it. You don't have to wait on it. When your life is taken, either through death or when He calls you to glory through the rapture, you're guaranteed to be in glory. And everything that you've done for Him, you will be rewarded for. You have an eternal home awaiting you, and you have a glorified body awaiting you. What great verses of encouragement. With God, it's guaranteed. It's kept. The glory is guarded by the power of God. Isn't that what it says in verse 4? Who by God's power, not our strength, if it was dependent upon us, it wouldn't be guaranteed to be lost. We would be lost. But because it's guarded by the power of God, our salvation is kept. Our inheritance is waiting for us in glory. Because it's God that's doing it, not us. It's not dependent upon your strength, your obedience, your faithfulness. In fact, when we are unfaithful, He remains faithful. As soon as you call upon Christ, these wonderful promises are yours. You inherit them. Christ is yours forever. And we continually remind ourselves and we grow in that grace. We grow in that living hope. We grow in the mindset that we will be glorified. It brings great encouragement. 2 Corinthians 3:18 tells us we are transformed into the same image from one degree of glory to another. That's sanctification. Progressive sanctification. You're becoming more like Christ from one degree of glory to another. Someone asked, well, break it down. What do you mean? What is the glory of God? Have you ever tried to explain that? That can be a little difficult to explain the glory of God. The glory of God, it's the sum total of all that God is, all that God does. Glory is not a separate attribute or characteristic of God, like holiness, wisdom, or mercy. Everything that God is and does is characterized by glory. He is glorious in wisdom and power, so that everything He thinks and does is marked by glory. He reveals His glory in creation, Psalm 19. He reveals His glory in salvation as well. 1 Peter 1:24 tells us, all flesh is like grass, and all its glory, the glory of man, like flower of grass. Man's glory is not permanent. God's glory is eternal. We are called to give God the glory. God is glorious, and He deserves all the glory. Through our lives, you can give. Through our lives, we give God glory. We are born for glory. We are kept for glory. We are being prepared for glory. Verse 6, in this you rejoice, though now for a little while, if necessary, you have been grieved by various trials, so that the tested genuineness of your faith, more precious than gold that perishes, though it is tested by fire, may be found to result in praise and glory and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ. You see how we are being prepared for glory, specifically through our trials. I love the description here. You kind of break this down of the purpose and benefit of trials. First of all, trials meet needs. It says, if necessary. If necessary, God puts us through trials. There's times that He knows we need to go through certain things, doesn't He? Sometimes it's because of our sin. There's been times in my life I knew I was being whipped by God. I was being spanked by God because of my sin. There's other times that we simply go through trials to bring us into a deeper, loving relationship with Him. He wants us, no matter why we're going through something, whether it's because of our sin or it's just because He's putting us through a test, it can all bring Him glory, and it can always be an opportunity to grow in our relationship with Him, if necessary. They meet needs. Also, we see that there are various trials. Trials are varied. This term can also mean many colored. There's different types of trials. You might be going through something. I'm going through something. Someone else is going through something. Could be similar, but there's still some variety in the types of trials that we go through because they are tailor-made for you. They're not given by accident. They're all by a divine appointment, and they're tailor-made for you. There are various trials. I appreciate this as well. Trials are not easy. Look at verse 8. I'm sorry, 6. In this you rejoice, though now for a little while, if necessary, you have been grieved by various trials. Been grieved. To experience grief or pain is what the Greek word means. It's the same word used to describe our Lord in Gethsemane when He was praying. Same word used to describe the sorrow of saints at the death of loved ones. Trials can be very difficult. They're not easy. I love Romans 8:18. For I consider that the suffering of this present time are not worth comparing with the glory that is to be revealed to us. This affliction is light and momentary compared to the glory that shall be revealed to us, compared to what awaits us in heaven. Remind yourself of that. It's helpful, it's encouraging when you're going through that trial, when you're being tested, that is tailor-made for you. They are necessary. I also love the fact that trials are controlled by God. Back to verse 6. In this you rejoice, though now for a little while. When God permits His children to go through the furnace. I'm so thankful that he keeps his eye on the clock and his hand on the thermostat. He knows how severe that trial needs to be and how long you need to go through it. Now, knowing that and living that truth is two different things. To be able to rejoice, as we see here and as we studied in Philippians, as we go through our trials, is to put that into practice, depending upon God, focusing on the future glory, focusing on the characteristics of God and His glory, so that we're going through these trials, we're going through these tests. We not only endure them, but we grow through them. So it's encouraging to know that we are born for glory, we are kept for glory, we are being prepared for glory. And the final thing is, we can enjoy the glory right now. Right now. Look at verse 8. Though you have not seen him, you love him. Though you do not now see him, you believe in him and rejoice with joy that is inexpressible and filled with glory, obtaining the outcome of your faith, the salvation of your souls. Concerning this salvation, the prophets who prophesied about the grace that was to be yours searched and inquired carefully, inquiring what person or time the Spirit of Christ in them was indicating when he predicted the sufferings of Christ and the subsequent glories. It was revealed to them that they were serving not themselves, but you and the things that have now been announced to you through those who preach the good news to you by the Holy Spirit sent from heaven, things into which the angels long to look. First of all, I'd like to briefly point out the blessings of living as a New Covenant, New Testament believer. Things that the prophets, those who study the Word of God, proclaimed it. They searched diligently when all these things were transpired. Now they have. Christ came, He died, He rose again. He's coming again. And we still wait for that as believers in Christ. The consummation of all things. But what a privilege we have. Being able to look back and understand and have the completed Word of God in our possession. And see the prophecies declared and fulfilled in Christ. And we still are awaiting the rapture and the second coming and all these other prophecies and the new heaven and the new earth. So there are still obviously things that need to occur. But we have the completed canon of Scripture. Believers can enjoy God's glory right now. How? Verse 8, love Christ. Have we seen him in the flesh? No, we don't have that privilege like the apostles and others saw him in the flesh. We will see him one day in glory. That's a promise. It's guaranteed. It's going to happen if you're a believer in Christ. But though you haven't seen him, you love him. Though you not now see him, you believe in him and rejoice with joy that is inexpressible and filled with glory. I know as believers in Christ, when you are sharing the gospel with an unbeliever, I'm sure it's crossed your mind. I wish they could just see the inexpressible joy that was brought to my soul, to my life, when I put my faith in Christ. Here's the thing. Every individual has to experience it themselves. You can live for Christ and Christ can shine through you, through your life. But it ultimately comes down to the human responsibility to put their faith in Christ or their choice. Second choice is to reject him. When I was saved over 24 years ago, I didn't understand everything that transpired. But I had that inexpressible joy of my sin debt that was lifted from me. Because Jesus Christ, He paid for them. He paid for my sin. Not because I was this wonderful young man. It was just the opposite. I was depraved. I was wicked. I was dead in my sin. And Jesus so loved me, He paid for it all. And it's inexpressible joy of salvation when a lost sinner puts their faith in Jesus Christ. Nothing compares to it. It's inexpressible. It is filled with glory. You can experience the glory of God now. You love Christ. You can trust Christ. You believe in Him and rejoice. Belief, faith. Another sentiment is trust. You rejoice in Christ. You experience God's glory now. The word translated in the ESV, obtaining in verse 9, can also mean presently receiving for yourselves. Meaning this is presently happening. The outcome of your faith, you are experiencing this now. And then it can also look to the future glorification as well. Charles Spurgeon used to say, little faith will take your soul to heaven, but great faith will bring heaven to your soul. Even during those difficult, grievous, various trials, you can have the glory of God with you. You can experience the glory of God. You can experience the joy that is inexpressible. Yes. For Christians, it is glory all the way. When we trusted in Christ, we were born for glory. We are being kept for glory. As we obey Him and experience trials, we are being prepared for glory. When we love Him, trust Him, rejoice in Him, we experience the glory here and now, a joy that's inexpressible, filled with glory. What a God. What a Savior. What a salvation. All heads bowed. All eyes closed. It says these are things which angels long to look. Angels long to look. They are amazed. They are amazed by God's glory, by God's grace, the saving of a soul, how we are being transformed from one degree of glory to another. The angels long to look into. If you're here this morning, there's never been a time that you've put your trust in Christ. All of us are saved the same way. We are kept the same way. It's by grace. And the way we access the grace of God is through faith. It's not doing good deeds. You don't earn your grace. You don't earn your salvation, and you certainly can't keep it. It's by God's grace that you're saved. It's by God's grace that you're kept. It's by God's grace that you will be glorified. That's the end game. You have an inheritance waiting for you. If you're in Christ, it's guaranteed. He's not going to lose it. Heaven's not going to be overbooked. It's waiting for you. And you have this short amount of time to live for Him and to lay up eternal treasures in heaven. And everything that's done for Christ will last. But I do pray, if there's anyone here who has not put their faith in Christ, you need to understand the consequences of that. It's important. In fact, it's my responsibility as a believer in Christ and a preacher of the gospel to let you know that you have that choice to reject Christ. That's the free will of man, but it's my responsibility to let you know that if you continually reject Christ and if you die in your sin, you will not go to heaven. There's no such thing as purgatory. Death will cast you into hell and eventually the lake of fire. It's forever. But everyone in Christ, when they die, they go directly to glory, to heaven. There's no longer sin that you have to deal with. It's taken care of. And you will be surrounded by God's glory and His holiness and His love forever and ever and ever. Nothing compares. Nothing compares. If you never trusted in Christ, make that decision. Cry out to Christ from a repent of heart. Ask Him to forgive you and save you, and He promises to do so. Heavenly Father, we thank You for this time together. We thank You for this church. We thank You for Your grace. We thank You for what awaits us. We pray that daily we would live for the eternal instead of the temporal. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let's stand. We'll have a verse of invitation. Whatever the need is, just come. Maybe there's someone you know who needs to hear the gospel. Maybe you're going through a various trial this morning and you just want to come and put it before the throne. may be seated. The small group that usually meets at the God's Home after service is going to be at our home today. So if you like to come to that, you want directions, just please see myself. I'd be happy to give you directions to our home. Pastor John.
Thank you, Pastor Mark, for sharing God's word here this morning. Let's meditate on that through this week. Lots there. Hope you take notes. Take notes. And it's one nice thing about our small group Bible studies. We go and we talk about that. And so if you haven't had an opportunity to be part of that, there, like Pastor Mark said, there's one at his house this Sunday. You could come join him. There's one on Wednesday night at the Keltners for their wave. And then one at the Lomax's wave. Okay. So if you have your bulletins, there's some announcements. The Christmas program this year is going to be on December the 11th. And if you'd like to participate in that, maybe the Lord's blessed you with maybe the singing or music ability. Or maybe he's blessed you with the ability to read. That's a good thing. And you could read scripture. Or something else that you, maybe a little skit or whatever. But if you like, there's a sign up in the back. Pastor Mark's there in the back holding it up like Vanna White there. You guys missed it. That's okay. There you go. He's got it. So and just keep that in prayer. That's a time of the year. We're getting in a time when people come to church. Sometimes they don't go. Maybe only once or twice a year. We got Thanksgiving. We got Christmas. And Easter is the third time. You don't want to miss next Sunday, right after the morning service. Pastor Mark's going to be sharing, and we're going to be talking about some ministry ideas, titled kind of a vision casting meeting. So keep that in prayer. We'll see what the Lord would be leading us this year through that. We have the Trunk or Treat coming up. That's, again, next Sunday. It is next Sunday, isn't it? The 30th. I know Sarah's been cutting out and doing things, preparing for that. So if you got your vehicles, you can decorate them, and a lot of the community comes out for that. That's one way people hear about us. They do bring their kids here, and it's a time you can talk to them as they go through. There's some of the daycare families that come to the Trunk or Treat, so you can take advantage of that opportunity to get to know them and maybe invite them to church. Sometimes it takes several people inviting before somebody will come. But if they see you're friendly and that you invite them, maybe they'll come. And then we're going to do the Samaritan Purse, which is we basically take a shoebox and fill it up with presents for children that wouldn't get that. And they have the gospel message in there and a Christmas message. So and there's some details about that. So men, would you come forward? And we'll, I didn't say that, but you probably have heard me say that. There is a tear-off section here. If you have a prayer request, you can tear off this section and put it in there when the bulletin or when the offering plate comes around. Okay, let's pray. And Randy, would you pray for us?
Dear Lord Jesus.